Hey guys, Champagne Room Hoops Podcast, Season 2, Episode 9. All things Illini Hoops on the way. Stay tuned. I'm proud to tell you all that Champagne Room Hoops Podcast has partnered with Underdog Fantasy. On top of that, I've got even better news. They will match your first deposit up to $100. What better time to join than during March Madness? The only way for you to get in on this special is by downloading their app and using our code CRH24. Again, CRH24. Even if you've already registered but haven't deposited, you can still use the promo. When you do, Underdog will match your first deposit up to $100. What are you waiting for? Get started today and come play along with us all season long at Underdog Sports. What's up, everybody? We are back for another edition of Champagne Room Hoops Podcast as BR the part of Beyond the Big Ten Podcast Network. You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcast, and on YouTube at Beyond Big Ten. Also, make sure to follow along on all social media, Twitter, IG, and TikTok with the handle Beyond Big Ten. I am former Illini point guard Sam Maniscalco, joined by do-it-all swingman, the original Mr. 3&D, the original Mr. Glue Guy himself, number 30 in your programs, but number one in all Illini fans' hearts, Bill Cole. At Buck Wild Bill 33. All right, Billy, it's been a long season. It's finally that time of the year, March Madness. Illini with the 3 seed coming off another Big Ten tourney championship for Brad Underwood. What do you got for me?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, let's start with last week. How cool was that? Just like you said, to be able to knock down another Big Ten title. I know it's not Big Ten regular season, but man, it's right up there with everything you want to win when you go into the season. I think it's a banner that's going to go up in Assembly Hall, State Farm Center, and then the 3 seed, right? So that's a big deal. You've done enough work to put yourself in the position to play some teams that you should beat going into the tournament, to give yourself every opportunity to break the streak and get back into the Sweet 16, which is ultimately what I think this season's going to be judged on.
Yeah, which kind of been the recurrent theme, you know, all year that we've talked about, especially coming off last year, you know, Brad Underwood being judged on what he does in the tournament, you know, and not the regular season. And something just felt, you know, obviously I think this team was a pleasant surprise, you know, based on what we watched last year and kind of how that kind of crumbled, especially the second half of the season. And maybe just so the unknowns, you know, coming into this year. And while, wow, I was pleasantly surprised. First, let's start. Obviously, Terrence Shannon Jr., what he's done throughout the entire regular season, besides the games, obviously, that he was suspended for. I mean, he's had a Player of the Year, All-American type year. I mean, there are times you could call him, you know, the best player in the country, and he's backed it up all season long.
For sure. I think if the off the court stuff doesn't happen, I think he's probably first or second team All-American. I just don't see 10 players out there that are more valuable to their team or just that explosive of a basketball player in general. He's definitely got the NBA body. He's an NBA player. And he is, you know, really in the tournament, you know, now the all-time leading Big Ten tournament scorer. I think he matched Keegan Murray or 1 point less, but in one less game. So in my mind, the all-time leading Big Ten tournament points getter, which is just another accolade to hang his hat on. But then you talked about it, like things we didn't expect. Like, who would have thought the NIL transfer from Southern Illinois would have been, you know, maybe just as important of a player for us. But from the very first exhibition game, when we watched against Kansas and got on this podcast and we're like, oh, you know, he was pleasantly surprising player, to now where he's literally reshaping games with his booty ball. And just the team in general doesn't, you know, one thing we touched on a million times last year but haven't touched on really at all this year is just the chemistry, the knowing when who needs to take what shot when. It's literally a 180. Everything is so well orchestrated in big games. I think every Big Ten tournament game, which they won, all three of them, they struggled in the first half. They needed to have big time performances in the second half and playing smart basketball, getting the right people, the right shots at the right time, really shined through down the stretch. And I think that's the type of stuff you need to win in the NCAA tournament. You need to have older, smart, guys that can kind of weather that mental storm and go and get their big scorers the ball when it matters.
Yeah, and all season long, and it wasn't even, I think the team throughout the season kind of just molded into that type of chemistry and that theme like you talked about. It doesn't seem like Brad is doing too much orchestrating from the sidelines as far as offense goes. I think this team has kind of molded themselves into what they are, which is what you said, kind of a lot of isolation. There's a true pecking order. We talked a lot about that last year, where at some games we had no idea who our quote unquote go-to guy was. There's a true pecking order on this team that starts with Terrence Shannon. And there's other games where, you know, we want to call him a Robin, Marcus Damask, who you just mentioned. Sometimes, you know, some games has to be the Batman. And then Coleman Hawkins is right there as your third guy that kind of fills in really nicely and does a lot of the stuff that doesn't necessarily show up in the stat sheet. So their top three have had a terrific regular seasons. And what I like most about this team is that we're peaking, right? At the time we're supposed to be peaking. So I know in previous years we've won a Big Ten tournament before and we're riding high and, you know, ended up losing to Loyola. But I just feel different about this team. I feel like we're not tired. I feel like we have the horses, because in the NCAA tournament, you need some luck, right? You need a good draw, which we've talked about throughout the last few years. And you mentioned that three seed is just such a huge deal. It's so much different than a 6, 7, or 8 seed because of the draw you get. But they seem like they're literally like catching their stride right now and playing their best basketball. They seem like they're extremely cohesive. They seem like a mature group, like you mentioned. And besides the luck I just mentioned in the tournament, you also need big time players to carry the load and win you games. And what better example of that than the last 10 to 12 games, the line I have in Marcus Damask and Terrence Shannon Jr. literally carrying the load and letting the pieces all fill in and really creating a confidence level about them and swagger about them, you know, heading to tomorrow's game.
For sure. You touched on one big thing that, you know, if I start getting into things that maybe scare me a little bit, and that's, you know, sometimes you play in that Big Ten tournament, you win three games, you win the whole thing, and you take that deep breath, right? You cut down the nets, you have that little bit of complacency creep into your mind. So I think the psychological battle in our first game against Morehead State will be much more something to watch for me than the physical battle. Like you said, we should dominate them. Just a much bigger, stronger Big Ten team against Morehead State. But sometimes you get in that tournament, as someone who's lived it, I was thinking back to my you know, the three games I played in. It's such a blur. Like looking back, I can barely remember one single play. Your body, your mind is working so fast. So those first 5-10 minutes, we've got to get out to a fast start. We've got to have the maturity shine through, the people that can take a deep breath, just wrap their arms around each other. I think, you know, one of the last things you hit on, which is probably the most important point, this team looks like they genuinely, like, they love each other. They're like brothers. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Even going back to my high school state championship run, like the teams that like would take bullets for each other. And like last year you had people that you could just see the agendas oozing out of every possession down the floor. It's like, okay, it's your turn to shoot. And then, oh, he shot three times in a row. It's my turn to shoot. I don't see any of that. So I do feel like it's a watch out, just the psychological battle, just the whole, you know, they're not just playing with they're playing with the weight of a state who is habitually underperformed in the NCAA tournament on their shoulders. They'll feel that, and they need to be able to weather that storm and get a win against Morehead State, and then go straight in to a tough game against BYU, who's probably underseeded, but they can't play on Sundays. So the tournament had to basically give them a 6 seed versus a 4 or 5 seed. So it's very interesting. But look, at the end of the day, they've got their goals on Final Four. They've got their goals on winning the national title. You're going to have to play anybody anyways. So no excuses with seeding or bracket or UConn being in the bracket. I think they're going to go in with just a general anyone can get it type of attitude.
Yeah, and I think last, besides the distraction this year with Terrence Shannon Jr., I thought last year I felt like what's the best word to use? I felt like the locker room just in general, a lot of stuff got out. There were a lot of distractions in the media with the players making comments. It didn't seem like them and Brett Underwood were on the same page last year. There was some rifts with some of the guys, the early transfers. I haven't really felt any of that this year from this locker room. To your point, besides, like I said, what happened with Terrence Shannon Jr., I think Brad's done a really good job with the media this year. I think he's done a really good job of being upfront and honest about how he feels about this team, what he thinks about this team, what he thinks this team is capable of doing. And I think all the players have taken a very professional type approach, which speaks to the maturity and, you know, the experience level of this team. And this is all season long through the media. I think they've done a really good job with that. One thing I was completely surprised by, obviously it's been a long season and it happened early on, but did you think, I didn't think that we were going to average 84 points a game for the season, and we're 11th in points per game in the country. If you would have told me that before the season, I would have said that you're out of your mind. A Big Ten team isn't doing that. But it just speaks to the versatility that we have, and we're 5th in the country in total rebounds. So that speaks to what we've talked about a few times on this podcast, is our physicality, our size, the fact that 36 or 37% of the time we're getting a second chance look, an opportunity. That alone right there, I don't care if you're shooting the ball well, not shooting the ball well, that right there will keep you in games and win you games. So I really like our chances. I don't want to, you know, jinx us or anything, but I'd be shocked, completely shocked, if we're not in, for sure, Sweet 16 team. But I can see us being Elite Eight, possibly. If Terrence Shannon Jr. is shooting 15 free throws a game, I'm not surprised if we go to the Final Four. I think we could beat anybody, put it that way.
Yeah. UConn, defending national champs, might be one of the best. I mean, I watched them.
Everybody's saying that they're a lock.
I mean, they're just really, really, really talented. They've got a guy who's like Zach Edey Jr. playing center, and a bunch of like quick athletic guards surrounding them. And they won the title last year, so they've been there before. So look, I think the Sweet 16 is the barometer, right? It's where you have to at least get to. But crazy things happen in March, so it's this weird deal where you've got a, you know, Morehead State played Indiana, lost to Indiana by one at Indiana. Indiana gave us all sorts of problems. I know we won both of those games, but it wasn't like they were blowouts. So I know this team's not stupid. I know the coaches are harping on one game season. Every game is a Super Bowl. But crazy things happen in March, and the way you keep them from happening to you is by shooting the ball well and not having a game. You know, not having a game where it's like, oh, you know, we actually played pretty good, but we were 3 for 15 from three. And so I think you're going to get what you're going to get from Terrence Shannon and Damask. I almost think you could just take that to the bank. I think the X factors come in huge in the tournament. I thought Ty Rogers won us a couple of those Big Ten tournament games that he rarely even scored in. Just, you talked about the rebounding. It's such a weapon. That's more of a weapon. That is the reason we're the number three scoring team in the country. You know, the things that worry me, again, if I keep going back, I'm trying to play devil's advocate a little bit and not get out over our skis as far as expectations. You know, the counterpoint to us scoring so many points is like we've been giving up. Almost every team down the stretch has scored over 80. A lot of teams have scored 90 against us, and we're just outscoring them. So, look, a win is a win. Never bash on a win. You'd rather learn your lessons in a win, but eventually, you know, you're not going to be able to score 90 or 85 against somebody. So what game can we really sit down? I think we just need to blow out Morehead State. Easier said than done, but you know, they're 11, it's an 11 and a half point spread. That means it should be double digits early. I would love to see a 20 point plus game and just let the world know we're here. we should have been a one seed. We worked through some off the court stuff, and we're just like, we're in lockstep now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that that'll help get the little quote unquote monkey off their back a little bit. You know, I don't see any of that in this team as far as like, that doesn't seem like they play with pressure or the weight of the world on their shoulders. I think that falls on Brad, obviously. But like you said, I'm sure in the first 5 to 7 minutes of that game, they'll feel it. And I think there will be a moment where, like you said, they got to catch their breath and it's like, okay, let's get our second win here and get our feet under us and actually start playing the basketball that we've been playing for the last 6 weeks. So I think there will be some of those moments. I think the confidence, I agree when we've talked about this a lot offline as far as, you know, Big Ten tournament going on that 3-game win streak. You know, if you're not in the double bye, you got to win 4 games and you got to turn around right away on Thursday and fly across the country basically and play a team. And we've talked about, is it better to lose in the semis? Is it better to lose in the quarters and get a few days of rest and kind of regroup? I think in this situation, just because of how we've been playing and the rhythm we've been playing with and the rhythm that each individual player, I mean, Terrence Shannon Jr. and Damask look like the best they have all season, like they're peaking. So I just think that oozes confidence for these guys going into tomorrow. The one thing I worry about, and I'll go back to our podcast a few episodes ago when we had Doug on, I thought he made a couple great points. He alluded to what you did about the defense. You know, we've had some breakdowns, especially the second half of the year. I think we were kind of in flux as far as our defensive strategy, whether switching, not switching. And we just haven't really gotten the stops or put up the defensive efficiency numbers that we were used to seeing early on in the year. So to your point, I mean, you don't want to get into an up and down game as much to where you let a team that sticks around for the last 5 minutes of the game that you're supposed to beat, all of a sudden they have confidence. A few things go wrong. Next thing you know, you're in a dogfight when you shouldn't be. But the other thing is, and Doug said this, you know, if we play a team that has a ball dominant guard that could control tempo, that could limit our possessions, that are well coached, take the right shots, don't turn the ball over, I think we could run into some issues. Because I think one of our strengths is obviously getting out in transition, getting downhill. But if we run into a team like that, that scares me. And the other thing that scares me is, if we get into a last 3-4 minute type situation or really, really tight game, the lack of a point guard.
Yes.
And we've seen some instances of that in some tight games throughout the year. We've gotten by a lot without it. But I just hope that doesn't come back. And we do it by committee, right? We got guys like Damask and Terrence Shannon who play booty ball. They get to their spots. But there are some moments where it's kind of shown through where, man, if we had a true point guard or a seasoned vet kind of running the show there, that maybe we squeak out a few more games that we've made some mistakes on and fumbled late. I hope it doesn't come, but those are the only two things that worry me.
I totally agree.
Tyler Kolek, right?
Yeah, a Tyler Kolek. And then the flip side of that, which is, I think Doug also mentioned, when you've got, you know, Coleman plays the five all year long, but the teams that have really, like, we've really struggled with are the ones that commit to a bigger five, posting him up all game, and they're pounding the rock. Like the Indiana at home, like, we squeaked out that game, but, you know, probably one we should have lost if we just didn't win it with, like, grit and tenacity. The teams that slow us down, right? So our best attribute, the most unstoppable thing in the world, the one-man fast break, Terrence Shannon, when he gets the ball headed forward, every team we play, that'll be the number one thing on their scouting report. So slowing the game down, taking shots close to the basket, eliminating the quick outlet pass to him. And then they're going to have to make a decision on Damask. Like, who do you help off of? When do you help? Because they're going to get a heavy dose of those three things. So just to reiterate, the mismatch that Brad tries to go into every single game with a mismatch, find the other team's weakness. And he does a lot of that by putting Coleman at the five. And 80% of the time, I'd say Coleman has no issue defending a post up five. He is 6'11", even if he's like a little skinnier. But, you know, the second thing is getting out and just forcing, like you said, 15 free throws a game is almost impossible to beat when you're shooting it as good as those guys do. So almost forcing it down their throat in transition and not letting a team slow us down. In fact, speeding them up on offense, getting up in them, all those things we do well. I think, you know, you have to watch fouls. I always noticed from going to Big Ten play to the NCAA tournament, you could get any set of random officials and they are a lot more, you know, the West Coast, the East Coast leagues, the refs don't let you be nearly as physical and it catches up really fast. I remember we played Kansas, we had quick foul trouble. You know, you think back to the 05 national championship game, what was the storyline on that? It was like James Augustine sat most of the game because he was in immediate foul trouble.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of the, you know, everyone wants to know why the Big Ten struggles in postseason play. I do think sometimes the Big Ten turns into a little bit of a wrestling match. And if you're trying to adjust to that on a one-game fly, it can be really tough to adjust really quickly. I mean, look at Purdue last year getting beat by a 16 seed. Now, there's a lot more into that than just adjusting to the foul call. But it's all part of what I talked about earlier. The game is moving so fast. Your brain is so sped up with all of these different emotions being in the tournament. You know, if you lose, if somehow the other team starts hitting threes when they're not supposed to, all of a sudden the air is sucked out of the gym. All of a sudden you're thinking about, oh, this could be the last time I played with somebody. So instead of just like you said, where everyone kind of knows their spots, where to go, that pucker factor starts creeping in on you real fast. And so just avoiding those situations and not putting yourselves into them in the first place, which is a lot easier said than done. And I think you do that with being overly, you know, just using our size to our advantage. We're going to have the size advantage against Morehead State. I think you go to Damask early and often with the booty ball. You get Terrence Shannon out in transition. And then Coleman has to be the three-headed monster, right? He can't be super passive in this game. I think he's really got to look to have one of those games where he's making his presence known to the world.
Well said. Morehead State, they won 26 games this year. So I don't care what conference you're in or what schedule you play at this level. If you win 26 games, you're a good basketball team. 14-4 in conference, 14-1 at home, 9-7 away. Their scoring margin, they won by 13 points a game. That's also a big number. Again, I don't care who you're playing. Playing 34 games in a season, you win by average margin of 13. That's pretty good. As far as players, they got a kid that's averaging, so they got 21 a game, 16 a game, 13 a game, and 10 a game. So to me, that speaks balance. That speaks probably older squad. I don't know a ton about them. I've just read a little bit about them. I know we're 11-point favorites, and I'm sure they're just pounding this to these guys in film, but obviously you got to respect your opponent here, right? It's not, I mean, like I said, they won 26 games, so they're obviously a good basketball team.
Yeah, I've actually seen some pundits pick us to lose as an upset, so I think that's ridiculous. But like I said earlier, it's called March Madness for a reason. I mean, Purdue, like the flip side of what I said earlier about Indiana losing by or only winning by one against these guys at home is Purdue beat them by 30. So that tells me right there, like they were having problems with Zach Edey. That's why I think, you know, I brought up Coleman Hawkins. You know, I think Dane Danger, he had a hell of a Big Ten tournament. You know, he's so good offensively, and this is the type of team that he can actually hang with. Defensively, they're not going to be athletes that are running us out of the gym, you know, pick and roll style athletes. So I think Dane needs to take a big step forward in the tournament. The role players are going to be huge. Luke Goody has to make shots, right? When he gets his minutes, he's got a guard, right? He's got to sit down and guard somebody. I know that's been a big focus of his the last couple of weeks and maybe why he's lost a little minutes, but he's also got to make those crucial threes like he did in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament. He had three threes. Justin Harmon needs to make threes. Dane Danger has to score when he gets his minutes. All of those things, those little glue guys, those will start to shine through and really like galvanize. Because again, I think what you're going to get from Shannon and Damask is just, that's just there. You're going to get that every game. And then Coleman Hawkins, be the three-headed monster. not 40, but like dominant, like 20. Both those guys are going to go for 20 and 20. Mark it down. Take your prop bets on the daily fantasy site. It's like, do whatever you got to do.
Those underdog guys are sports, baby.
Underdog sports. Those guys are a given. It's really what the role players are going to give us, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, your boy Dane, his minutes, 22, 20, 15, 10, 19, 14, his minutes has almost doubled from where he was early in the season, which and he's, like you said, he's made a major impact on this team. I definitely think his, obviously, minutes will be matchup based in the tournament. As far as Terrence Shannon Jr. goes, let's talk just a touch on draft stock. We haven't really gotten into that this year. I mean, obviously the reason he came back was to prove that he's, a first round draft pick. With his play, we'll ignore the situation, his legal situation and whatnot. Just as far as his stock as a player in production wise, he's made a really, really good case for himself to be a top 20 pick in the draft. I mean, I still don't love his. I don't think he's an NBA 3-point shooter. I mean, I think he's improved his jump shot for sure. I think he's taken better shots this year. I thought last year a lot of his shots, at least his threes, were forced or off the dribble. I think he's taken been more selective in those 3-point attempts this year. So he's, I think, 35-36%, which ain't bad. But I kind of harped on him a little last year. We talked about how he was able to get downhill so well, and kind of just put his head down and force his will and force his way to the basket. He's done that again this year, but I just think he's done it in a much more efficient, more basketball type of way. He's really, taking what the defense gives him. He's making passes every time he puts his head down and goes to the rim. I thought last year his decision making at the rim wasn't the best. I thought it was a rarity for him to get all the way to the hole and actually pass the ball out for, a good shot or a better shot. I think he's done a good job this year. And then the way he's gotten to the free throw line, the way he can, that's a skill set, right? So, right. You talk about big guys that get fouled, they're physical, whatnot, they get to the line X amount of times. When a slasher and a guard like that is able to get to the line that many times, that's called manufacturing points, right? That's a skill set. That's not something that you just, not an innate ability. It's something that you learn, you develop over time. He's got an unbelievable ability to manufacture points when he needs to get to the line, when the team needs points, or whatever the case may be. And like I said, if he continues that pace, and is able to put his head down and score and shoot 8, 10, 12 free throws a game, that's going to bode well for the Illini. But I think he's firmly cemented himself as a, for sure, a first-round pick, right, because of his size, athleticism, and what he can do. I mean, I think he's a better defensive player than what he shows, because at this level, I don't think he really has to, quote-unquote, be that. He's got so much of a load offensively that he doesn't have to really showcase what he can do defensively. But I think the capabilities because of his body and his athleticism and size defensively, he could be a pretty good player at the next level as well.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. I think, unfortunately, and you said we're not going to get into it, I think you could make a pretty good case from anywhere from end of the lottery to end of the first round. If you're an NBA, like that'd be my general guess of where he ends up. Had to take an educated guess. I do think some of the off the court stuff will obviously have a factor on that, depending on how that plays out. But what I've learned is the NBA, like they'll draft someone for their body and their God given talent. And then once it becomes your full time, the only thing you're worried about in the world is basketball. You're in the gym every hour of every day as a rookie. They'll clean up his shot a little bit. I don't think they'll have any issues with his, ability to translate to an NBA 3-point shooter. His shot is definitely unconventional, but I also think the year that he came back, he made such good strides on when to shoot, when to take over, when to manufacture points, like you said, that there's no doubt in my mind he's an NBA player. And then the last point you made, he will guard the other team's best player. And going back to the first point, the body helps with that, right? If you can match up with a Jason Tatum or all of these, go through any wing in the NBA, they are all monster human beings. And he's got that, like I've said it so many times on this podcast, he's almost built like a football player. He's built like a tight end, a quick twitch wide receiver. So he's got the intangibles that they look for. And, you know, seems like a great, you know, great character guy. His teammates seem to like him. I think that plays a little bit into it. So I would guess if the off the field stuff or the off the court stuff takes care of itself, I'd definitely look at him being in the first round.
Do you think this is Brad's best team he's had?
Oh, I don't know. I'd like to see them play the COVID year that got canceled with Kofi in his prime, Curbelo, Io. That team was very, very good. Won the Big Ten. Didn't get the chance to play in the tournament. I think it's definitely 1A and 1B, right? Like the chemistry here with Damask is just so different than what you typically see. I think we're a little bit, honestly, I think we're a little bit underseeded.
I think we're better.
I was going to say, this has the feel of like a one seed for me. But it is what it is. I do think it's an interesting question. I do think people think BYU they played the Big 12 this year. They had a lot of good wins. They've played really tough competition. I think people are really high on BYU, so that I'll hold my hand up in the air. I haven't seen them play much at all or once this year, so it's all new to me. But just what I read is everyone is super high on them. So it'll be an interesting, like, right away, first weekend getting thrown into the fire. If we can beat Morehead State and then play BYU, who's kind of an interesting story with everything going on with their seeding.
I think this is his best team. I don't know. I feel like over the last 6 to 8 weeks, I've come away from watching Illinois games and after being like, we're very good. We're really good.
Yeah.
And I know we were with Io and Kofi too. I just feel like that team was so centered around, and Io is a stud obviously, but I feel like that team was so centered around Kofi, and it was just like everybody kind of just, we kind of went as he went, you know, in a sense. I like the makeup of this team and the versatility of this team better. I'm not sure why. Maybe because of the way they play in the isolation and the high IQ kind of ISO ball they play with sometimes is more appealing to me. But I've walked away from a lot of games this year, especially when we're scoring in the 90s, and I'm like, this is a very good team. And I can't figure out, is that because, like, even from 4 years ago, the game's changed already that much? I mean, there were times this year, more times than not, when I watched a Big Ten game, it felt more like an ACC game than it did. Because when we were playing, it was like you knew the West Coast and you knew the ACC as leagues that got up and down and they scored and nobody played any defense, quote unquote, any defense. And it was just a who can outscore who. And I feel like we got some of that in the Big Ten this year, which is weird.
Yeah, the Big Ten has definitely changed.
Is it the player, the coaches? What is it?
I think there's some analytics that have crept into the game, right? Like I was laughing. You see almost no help defense anymore. Teams would rather give up a contested layup than give up an open three. So, like, I do think there's the whole analytics era has kind of drifted into the Big Ten. I also think it's part of us watching these games. Like, me and you talk about it all the time. Like, deep down, we know that guards win in March, right? Like, a guard-oriented, a Deron Williams, a D. Brown, that team wins more than a Kofi, a Zach Edey. It just does. For whatever reason, it's part mm-hmm. of, like, part of the reason your best player having the ball in their hands and being the decision maker and not – if the ball is in your hands of your best player from the start of the possession, the other team can't scheme to take it away. And so I do think part of why you're saying, and I would agree with you, the 1A and 1B thing, we're splitting hairs there. But part of the reason this looks like the best team and they kind of jump off the TV when you watch them is our best players, Damask brings the ball up from the start. Terrence Shannon brings the ball up. You know, he gets the ball in transition. There is no ability to scheme for Kofi Coburn on this team. We're not relying on getting the ball into the block and having to score from 2 feet. So it's just a lot harder to stop. A lot of people have tried to throw a scheme at us and not guard Ty Rogers, but you know, he's punished that. You know, he'll go to the board, he'll go to the rebounds and get offensive rebounds and score them. So there's not a lot you can do besides hope we have an off night shooting. There's just not too much you can do as a defensive team against us.
Yeah, I mean, how about as far as – all right. So if we lose tomorrow or we lose Saturday, what's the aura or opinion of Brad Underwood in Illinois basketball? Again, hoping we don't, but what if we do?
It's such a tough question. And we touched on this on the Doug Altenberger podcast as well, because he's put us in this weird position. We're so almost so spoiled now as a program. And I know that sounds weird to say, but like these type, like you look at like the last 5 year statistics of Big Ten play, and like Illinois is up there and wins. Really the only anyone close to us is Purdue. So our regular season, our issues where it was like we had that, you know, gross era, the later years of the Bruce Weber stuff where it was like, hey, is it a question? Are we going to make the tournament? Every year now, it seems like we're just reloading with talent. We're a top seed. But go to the flip side of that, which is where I was going with the original statement. If we lose, like you just asked, if we lose to Morehead State, there will be a literal meltdown in on Illini Twitter, Illini fandom, whatever you want to say. I think my quote on the last podcast was, I'm almost watching these games. You know, I used to get super excited when teams were on the cusp or on the bubble, and are they going to get in the tournament and make a little noise? But now I like watch them and I'm like, the whole season is the NCAA tournament. The whole feeling around how this season went is judged on the next two games. And I think that bottom line good feeling, like the bare minimum is Sweet 16. And anything above that is house money. It's going to be a great ride if we go past that. There will be people wearing orange shirts like you've never seen. I've literally already seen a difference in the amount of people wearing Illini gear around town. The vibe when Illinois basketball is elite is just, it's just different. And the problem that's been born out of so much success is really only one thing matters right now. And that's a Sweet 16 or bust.
Yeah, there was an article in the Sun Times a few weeks ago about Sun Times or Trib about Underwood and how he's got to deliver on that end. And I'm sure he feels it, right?
Yeah. The whole team. I mean, that's what I talked about. Like when you're preparing for those games, it's just like, it's like an air in the, it's hard to describe. Like I remember shoot around before my senior year, we were playing UNLV in the opening round. It's like, there's just like a weight. There's like a, something you can't even describe that I had never felt in any of the other games. It was just like a weight of expectation. Where everyone knows it's win or go home. And it sits over from the time you fly out to the time you're in your locker room after the game, it just sits on you. And so the team will have to realize that I think this is some of the best advice I ever got. The team will have to realize that there's going to be a point where things just get out of control. And it might not be in the first game, might not be against BYU, but I bet you there's a point in those two games where it's like, okay, this season's slipping from us. And then it's about who can wrap their arms around each other as the leader and move us one square up. Who can hit a big shot? Who can stop a skid? Who can get a steal in a layup? Those are the type of things, you know, think about even to the, you know, I saw a clip come by today, even the 05 team, they had one loss all year, maybe the best team, one of the best teams in college basketball history. And they were down 13 with 2.5 minutes left in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
So there's so much luck and skill mixed together, and then just the people that can find something special and gel at the right time, they can really do some damage in the tournament.
All right, so before we wrap it up, prediction on how far the Illini go, and then who's your Final Four teams?
Why don't you give me yours first? Because I'm going to look at my eight brackets that I filled out and pick one that I really like.
So my Final Four, I got us. I've got Carolina in the West. In the South, I've got Marquette. I love their team. I love Shaka Smart, and I just love that dominant point guard, Tyler Kolek, and we've seen them before. So I got them in the South. The Midwest was my toughest one. I believe one of Kansas's best players is out, right, for the tournament.
Yeah, I heard
they're scary. They've lost some games this year.
They lied to say that he was playing, so they got seated appropriately, and then the second they got their seat, they say he was done for the year. That's what people are saying on Twitter.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'll go with Creighton in the Midwest. Shout out Greg McDermott. I think he's a great coach. I think they got elite players. And I watched that Creighton-UConn game this year when they beat UConn. I like their lineup. I like the way they played. He's a great coach. So, again, I got Creighton, Marquette, Carolina, and the Fighting Illini are my Final Four.
That's going to be tough to beat. I'm only going to do this. I know I'm going to catch flack for this. I'm only going to do this because if I pick against them slightly, they will actually do the opposite. So I'm going to have UConn in my Final Four who beat the Illini. I'm going to say Illini have an unbelievable season, longest season since 05, but they get beaten in the Elite Eight by UConn. So I'm going to go with my head, not my heart there. And then I'm going to say I do like Arizona. I know West Coast teams haven't been to the Final Four since like 2002 or something. So it's a crazy streak they're going to break. But I do think just unbelievably skilled team. I love their setup there. My other one seed besides UConn is going to be Houston. You talked about it to me last week. They're just a bunch of grown men, people that have been in the tournament before. They play in a tough league. And when I say grown men, I mean like grown men, like prison bodies on every single one of them. And then last, I like Tennessee. I think Connect is NBA player. He just seems like he's got that Hansborough like special college vibe about him. I like the Rick Barnes is a hell of a coach. Some of the best defense in the country. They've already actually beat Illinois this year, so there's a little gauge for knowing that they're a great team. So yeah, I got UConn, Houston, Tennessee, and Arizona.
I feel like Connect is like elite athletic Bill Cole. That's how he plays.
Yeah, exactly. If I would have been like, yeah, it's a perfect way to put it. If I would have had like a 45-inch vertical and kept everything else the same, I might have been able to get some of those highlights.
For sure. All right, we'll wrap it up. Hopefully, tournament starts tomorrow, so hopefully we're back on here mid-next week, early next week, talking about Illinois Sweet 16 matchup to whoever they play, and we get into some more tournament stuff. But Champagne Room Hoops Season 2, Episode 9, NCAA Tournament Preview. We'll hopefully see you guys next week. Go Illini. Thanks for joining.
Illini. Thanks, everybody.